It costs nothing to enjoy this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. If you've been injured in a road or work accident and made a claim, it costs nothing to know where you stand with Maurice Blackburn, Australia's number one plaintiff law firm.
May I just say thank you guys so much for holding the fort at 5:30 this morning.
Oh, we didn't. We got Alan from HitWA to do it.
Well, thank you, Alan. You guys did a wonderful job while I was busy scrambling around the house going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm late. Oh, my God. I've slept in. My text messages. This is what happened, right? So it was last night as I was going to bed, and in our household at the moment, because we've got the 5-year-old, the 3-year-old, the 5-month-old, everybody's sort of sleeping in different sleeping patterns. Nobody wants to sleep in their own beds. It's generally musical beds of an evening in the Corelli household. And so I'm sleeping in Mila's bed with Mila just to try and get her to sleep at a decent time.
Okay.
And I was reading, and out of the corner of my eye, she's picked up my phone and she's gone, Daddy, can I set your alarms for the morning? I'm like, no, I've set my alarms for the morning, honey. You don't have to touch it. Mm. Like, no, I'm just going to set your alarms. I'm like, you know, and it was at that stage where with the kids, when you're at the stage when you're trying to get everybody to bed, you're just like, you know what? Just do it.
She's quiet.
You don't want to start conflicts,
no,
do you?
No, just do whatever you want to do, mate. Yeah. That's fine. It'll figure out. And I had a moment where I thought to myself, I should probably check what she's done. And anyway, I had that moment again when I woke up this morning and it was 5:09.
Yes.
And it takes me about 45 minutes to get from where I lived into work.
And you're meant to be here at 5.
Yes.
So
and looked at the thing. Now, she's reset all of the AMs in the alarms to PMs.
Okay.
So that's where the issue has been. But I've scrambled and texted Janine. Jean's our wonderful executive producer, saying, mate, I'm going to be late this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I slept through the only opportunity to get married.
What?
Well, you know what? Like, as you know, no one's ever asked to marry me. No one's ever.
Give us a call, 13 1060.
As you know, apparently no one's interested.
Nick and Thorley.
I'll marry you.
And there was a time when I was living in Canada and there was this huge party going on with all the theatre artists at the time. I was over there touring for theatre. And they were going, we're going to have this big wedding party. And the idea was that everyone was going to go to this party and have a big wedding. And it was going to be whoever's there, we're going to hook you up. And someone was actually a celebrant there. And they're like, this is going to be hilarious because some of these people might end up married.
Okay.
So it was meant to be this big event and I had a dress and it was going to be this big thing. And I went home after the show and was like, I'm just going to have a quick shower, get changed into my wedding dress and I'll be at the wedding. But I had a quick shower and then was like, might just lay in my towel on the bed for a bit.
Mm.
And then I woke up.
We had two different thoughts, didn't we?
I woke up about 7 hours later and was like, I just missed my own wedding. The only chance, the only shot I had, gone.
And now here you are, spinster.
Oh, what a spinster.
On the shelf.
It's a barren wasteland of men.
His Wikipedia page describes him as one of Australia's most experienced and well-travelled comedians. Doesn't say anything about funny. Lucky he is, which is why we love him. Please welcome, friend of the show, Limo.
Not only is he funny, he's free.
He's free, guys. He's free.
I tell you what, you can take our toilet paper, but you can't take our freedom.
Are you actually going to use it, though, Limo? I feel like people will be like, you got freedom. And I'll go, yeah, cool. I might head off to the shops.
Mm. Yeah, there are people sort of walking out of underground bunkers, squinting into the daylight, going, is this what it's like? Is this what it's like? I mean, we don't know. There are people wandering in the streets. They don't know how to greet other people.
Yeah.
Do we shake hands? Do we kiss? Do we tap our toes together? No one knows what's going on. Kids have forgotten where their schools are. There are kids just riding the streets of, but at the moment, they don't know where they're going. They don't know what to do. You know, there are grade threes who can't read and write because they've been homeschooled by drunken parents over the last 2 years.
They can spell Chardonnay.
Yeah, that's about it. It's like my 5-year-old knows that Tempranillo is a Spanish grape. way too much wine knowledge for a 5-year-old. And they say, I mean, they call it freedom, right? Freedom Day here in Melbourne. It's only freedom for the organised. If you are disorganised, there'd be people today going, oh, great, freedom, all right, well, I'll book a table at my local pub. No bookings available until the 24th of November.
My God.
Yes.
Wow. Well,
because all the organised people booked everything on Monday and Tuesday, and all the disorganised people left going, God, I wish I had an organised friend who could take me out. And you forget what to do at a restaurant. When we came out of that 112-day lockdown last year, day one, my wife and I went to a restaurant, had lunch, and I just had forgotten how to function in a restaurant. Yep. When we finished our meals, I stacked up our plates, got the cutlery, walked into the kitchen and put them in the dishwasher. And that apparently is not what you do at a restaurant. So we may need to lean on you guys for some tips on how to function in a normal society.
Oh, geez, you're
in big trouble now.
I mean, the reason that we've had to take our dishes into the sinks of restaurants is because we've not paid for the meals and they're charging us by making us do their dishes.
Oh, right. Okay, this is how you're sorting out the bill.
Yeah.
Is by doing the dishes. Well, Melbourne people are losing their minds today because it's Freedom Day. Sydney had their Freedom Day, but there were a couple of losers in the Sydney Freedom Day. I don't know if you saw the stories earlier this week about the midnight queues at Kmart in Sydney, a couple of the Kmart, and people just trashed the joint. Absolutely true. It was like a cage fights were going on inside Kmart as people were fighting for sales. They were just dumping stuff they didn't want. They were kicking clothes racks over. And I thought, well, that's a bit much. But then I went back and I found the ads that Kmart were playing in the lead up. And I thought, well, these guys were asking for it. So I've got a copy. This is the Kmart ad that was playing in Sydney in the lead up to Freedom Day.
Well done, Sydney. We beat coronavirus. You can step outside, feel the sunlight on your face.
You are my sunshine.
And there are three signs that life is getting back to normal. We can visit our family and friends. Our premier is having his seventh child. And Kmart is open for the first time in 6 months. No mask, no social distancing, no manners, no worries. Shop like the world is ending. Shop like you've lost all sense of decency.
Rack off your mall.
Shop like a pack of wild dogs let loose on a herd of impala. Fight with other shoppers over full-priced items that have been collecting dust on the rack since May. If you try something on and you don't want it, just throw it in a pile in the corner. Like we're a five-star hotel that'll clean up your mess. If someone else has something you want, fly kick them and steal them out of their trolley. If you want it, you take it. Load up on crap that you don't need and you can't afford. Kmart Blacktown, where being a feral shopper is just the beginning.
Well, I'm off to Kmart, guys, to start a fight over a $10 saucepan.
Oh, enjoy it, buddy.
Thank you, team.
Good to catch up with you, mate. Always a pleasure. Always, and we'll catch you in a week's time.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Bless you, bud.
Tell you what, little kids, they got a lot of emotions, don't they?
Yeah.
Jeez, thanks.
They're sort of a bit all over the place, aren't they, children?
Yeah, I mean, that's... It's kind of putting it lightly, really.
Yeah. Well, I went to dinner at a friend's house last night, very dear friends of ours, and they got two gorgeous little kids. And it's really lovely because they're sort of getting a little bit older now, and so we can make a little bit more of a relationship with them. You know, toddler and two toddlers, but they're just getting that nice little friendship where they're starting to recognise you and, you know. So, of course, when it was bedtime for them and the adults are going to start eating pizza, the kids are like, well, they don't want to go to bed, you know. So we managed to get one off to bed, but the little girl was like, I ain't going anywhere. Right. And so we sort of let her go for a bit, ignored her a bit, you know. And anyway, it got to the point, push come to shove, we have to go. You got to go to bed. And just as she's about to go to bed and she's very disgruntled, walks over to the playpen, you know, gets all the toys and grabs a stick, like this kind of, like, I guess like a plastic rod thing, and just casually picks it up and walks towards her mum, holding it in a rather threatening manner. and of course, you know, she doesn't normally behave like this. She's a gorgeous little girl. You know, mum looks at her and goes, you know, going to her husband, did you see that? But she just...
I don't want to go to bed.
Yeah, because kids sometimes just go you with a weapon.
I think you don't really want to do this. Let's think this thing through.
Constable Kimber.
It was a bit. But I thought, I'd love to know, what weapon did your child use on you? You don't even know. Sometimes you don't even know. They're not even angry or whatever. You're just sitting on the couch innocently and they just come up and they whack you with something.
Yeah.
What was the weapon?
I mean, this is not funny and I do not advise this, but I was with my best mate Boogie, and I don't know where his daughter found this thing. It was one of those hedge trimmers.
It was, you had a battery on, operated.
An electric hedge trimmer.
Yes. And all of a sudden, we're just sitting there and she's walking towards us with this hedge trimmer and we could see that it was ready to go if she pressed the trigger. And we're like sort of screaming at her but not wanting to, you know, to startle her too much.
Yeah, or excite her because yeah, she might right. also
and
think
she's coming
it's funny.
Towards us like giggling with this bloody hedge trimmer.
Mate, at our house, in the right hands, anything's a weapon.
Well, it is.
Yes,
so we've,
true.
I mean, we've got Milo's the 5-year-old. She's pretty placid, as I've mentioned many a time. It is, it's Isabella, our 3-year-old, who's right out of a Halloween movie.
And you can't take eyes off her.
No, you can't. And she, forget knives. I mean, you put all the sharp stuff away, but sure. She's thrown all sorts. I mean, she's ready for a stint in the big leagues playing baseball, pitching. She's incredible the way that she can throw anything. She's thrown chairs. She's thrown glasses. She's thrown phones. She's thrown, and she's a dead eye too. She'll hit you square between the eyes. Yeah,
well, easy. And you know, because the thing is, all you can imagine is I've got all this built up energy in them too. And sometimes they don't know, they express themselves in ways you're not expecting that they don't even know half the time.
Hi, Christy.
Hello.
What do you got?
My daughter, when she was about 4 years old, she stuck a toothpick, so a little tiny toothpick, but she put it sideways on the side of my bed in the carpet, like so I would stand on it when I got out of bed in the morning.
Oh,
yeah.
So was that intentional?
Yes, she had actually forgotten that she had done it when I like went
screamed.
To her and said, "What's this?" Yeah, she'd actually forgotten that she had done it, but she'd done it when she was mad a bit earlier.
Oh my
God. Yeah.
Oh, the old
Christie's daughter's member of the Viet Cong. Bloody hell.
I forgot I'd set up that trap for you. Yeah. Whoops,
sorry, Mum.
What weapon did your child use on you, Izzy?
My son used a BB gun and shot his dad like a sniper.
He was gifted a BB gun?
Yeah, for Christmas, he was 6 years old. He was gifted a BB gun. I was like, this is not a good idea.
No.
So Dad was like, no, he'll be fine. It's going to be great. So he point blank shot both of his older brothers in the side of the head by lunchtime on Christmas Day. later that day, the gun got taken away and he got sent to bed. Anyway, he snuck out of bed, got the gun, got up on his top bunk bed and laid there for about 2 hours. I walked past the room about 5 or 6 times. Didn't shoot me, wait for his dad. The minute his dad walked past the room, shot him in the side of the head.
Sniped.
Wow.
But he plotted up like a sniper for about 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, kids make great assassins.
For revenge, that one.
That's amazing.
There's a lot to unpack there, Izzy, I tell you. Years of therapy.
What about you, Nat? What weapon did your child use on you?
My son used his head.
Oh, great. The noggin. What did he do?
Yeah. So he was about 3. He was fast asleep, looking very angelic. So I leaned in to give him a kiss on the forehead good night, and he opened his eyes and just head-butted me. between the eyes.
Wow.
What happened
so I had
to
a
you?
Nice black eye.
You had a black eye.
I got a huge black eye.
Natalie, how hard are kids' heads? That's one thing that blows my mind about the girls, like just how incredibly hard their heads are.
It was like a hammer. It almost knocked me out. And he went straight back to sleep and I was sort of half unconscious on the floor.
And how long has he been a skinhead, Natalie?
What a week, what a week, what a week, what a busy old week. The weekend Perth, yeah.
Well, we hope this day would never come, but Emma Watkins, the Yellow Wiggle, is leaving the band.
Make a diamond shape, your legs move this way. This ballet step is called a demi-plie.
It certainly is. It's a demi-plie. And, of course, she'll be taken over by Tashae Hawkins, a wonderful young performer.
So talented.
Yes.
She's really young and she's done so much stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. She's going to be the next Yellow Wiggle. But, Emma, we wish you well. I saw the news. I can't believe it's true. Made me blue. Emma the Yellow Wiggle. Since 2012, we've watched her wiggle through
marriage and divorce too. With another wiggle, she sung her final song. Oh, what a thing to have done. Goodbye, the yellow wiggle. Your skivvy, your turtleneck of gold, perfect white teeth straight from some dental mold. Retiring, although it seems too soon, give her some wiggle room. The stage is bare, no plaits in your red hair, leaving our kids despair. Goodbye, the yellow wiggle. It's like a death, like I am short of breath. Someone should wake up Jeff. He loved the yellow wiggle. Your skivvy, your turtleneck of gold, homemade bow ties that look quite beautiful. Retiring, although it seems too soon, give her some wiggle room. It's true, a big red car has come for you.
It was beautiful. You know, tonight I'm going to grab a recording of that song and I'm going to sit around holding hands with my daughters. I'm going to play it to them. We're all going to have a big cry.
That's great.
She's the Aussie comedian whose photos poking fun at celebrities blew up on Insta and whose fundraiser for the Rural Fire Service after the 2019 bushfires went on to raise over $50 million. Now she's headed our way for a new tour. Please welcome Celeste Barber.
Tickets to Celeste Barber's forthcoming tour, fine, thanks, go on sale Monday, October 25th. Celeste Barber joins us now. Did I get that inflection right, or is it more like, fine, thanks?
Good question. There's a lot of different ways that I have been saying it. When people say, how are you? I have been responding with, fine, thanks. But that's also another way you could do it.
Right. So there's a little emotion in there somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. Fine, thanks.
I think it all depends where you put the punctuation, I would imagine, doesn't it? Because it could be fine, dot, dot, dot. Thanks.
Yes, but it's comma, so it's fine, thanks.
There we go.
Oh, how have we sorted that out?
This is that's like great. Letters and numbers, but on the radio.
I mean, yeah. Celeste, the good news is you're leaving the house.
I know.
You're going on tour.
I know. I'm so excited. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. I wanted to announce this tour about 6 months ago, but I couldn't because no one was allowed to go anywhere unless it was, you know, within 5 km of your house for an hour.
Mm.
So I'm so pumped to finally be saying, I'm going out on the road. Mm.
So what can we expect from fine? Thanks.
Well, it's probably going to be 45 minutes of me teaching people how to say it, the title, I think. Well, I have been sitting inside for the better part of 2 years staring at a wall. So, and you know, a lot has been happening in the past 2 years. There's going to be a lot of chat about that, how, you know, all of a sudden influencers are also now randomly anti-vaxxers. I do not know how that happened. So we're going to chat a bit about that. It's very physical, my show as well. I like to run around like a fool, and especially having been stuck inside, I'm really ready to run around like a fool and start yelling at people who aren't going to cry, hopefully, like my kids.
Does the Kendall Jenner bikini make an appearance at all?
Oh, God. Yeah, that's a real photo, that one, isn't it? Sure, why not? I'll throw that up there. Pretty hard to look at.
Is that why people ask you if you're okay? Because they can see how uncomfortable that bikini is.
Yeah, it looks like you get thrush from that bikini. Yeah, that bikini has a lot to answer for, I think. I might throw that photo up. Why not?
Celeste, in the show you say that hot girls can't dance. I'm just wondering if it works the other way. If I can't dance, does that mean I'm hot?
Hell yeah.
Woo, lucky
me. Yeah, well, no, I I've just noticed that they don't need to. Like when we're out at a club, because who says that when they're nearly 40 and there's been a pandemic? But you kind of just, these girls, they just don't move because they don't need to. They stand there with a drink, which is very, very unfair if you ask me.
You've been trying to pull men with the dance moves on the floor.
Yeah, pretty much. And because I used to dance as a kid, I'm that woman. Whenever a song comes on, I'm like, oh, I've got Corey for this. And it gets very uncomfortable when I start doing the running man. Like, I literally push people away and go, I need space, you guys. I have a whole thing that I need to do.
Hey, Celeste, one more thing just before we let you go. Your rise has been incredible to watch over the last few years. Do you still pinch yourself that your Instagram, particularly back in those days, took off the way that it did and you are this mega star now that you are?
Yes, I do pinch myself. I find it all a little bit crazy. I mean, I always knew that it was funny. What I was doing was funny, but I didn't expect it. And I still don't. I still don't expect it. It's kind of weird. Like if I'm walking down the street and someone goes, hey, Celeste, I'm like, what? Oh, sorry. Hello. What do you want? Oh, no, you just want to say hi. Hello. Like, yeah, it still shocks me.
It's amazing. Tickets to Celeste Barber's forthcoming tour. Fine. Thanks. Go on sale Monday, October 25th. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks to you guys. Have a good day.
Bye. See ya. I really believe Bye. It's just fine. Thanks.
Fine, thanks. All of it works.
There's a lot of guilt attached to being a parent or a step parent. And I'm feeling quite guilty this morning because I made dinner last night. And what I served up to my family was an absolute disgrace. I mean, you know, like a lot of people, I'm sure they can relate. At about 4 p.m., usually the idea starts being thrown around the house, what are we having for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if not earlier. But it's usually – and there are days that I'm inspired. I'm like, Jamie Oliver and Gordon Ramsay have had a love child. I'm like, really bleeping jubbly. You know, I'll make anything. But yesterday was one of those days where I opened up the pantry. And I was staring into the pantry. You know how kids stare at like a local character at a supermarket?
Yeah.
And you've got to tell them to stop staring because they don't know quite what they're in.
Yeah.
I'm going, I don't know what to do. And I opened up the fridge, had the same feeling. And I'm like, what am I going to feed my family? And what I served up, I mean, I would say Dickensian, but that would be a disservice to Oliver Twist because gruel would have been better.
What were you going for?
Well, we're trying to eat less meat, and that's the start of my problems, right? So we had these vegetarian sausages, which, yeah.
Sorry, that's a reaction any time I hear that there's no meat around.
But Pete, right. Reconstituted soy protein, so good for you, right? So I thought, well, I'll make a kind of a curry sausage kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
And I put that in and I grabbed some onions and I put some beans in and I just kept trying to add flavor. I put curry powder in, I put chili and it was just, it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I don't know what it was that I created. I know that I couldn't recreate it.
Thank goodness.
That's for sure. And I think I'm just going to have to call it hot slop.
Oh, yuck. Oh, that makes it sound much worse.
It's hot the word slop. Slop, isn't it?
Oh.
More hot slop, Kimber.
There's no, you know, the only thing worse than slop is hot slop.
Ah, hot slop.
Now, guys, the former White House Press Secretary, Stephanie Grisham, she's written a tell-all book.
Okay.
Now, this is including her time working at the White House from 2017 to 2018.
Okay.
And maybe you're expecting a tell-all book to be really salacious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're expecting other people to read it and come out and try and refute the claims or go, that wasn't what happened, something really salacious like that. But one of the stories that you're going to read in it is that during a summit of leading industrial nations, Donald Trump and Boris Johnson got into quite a lengthy conversation about how strong kangaroos are.
Really?
A very lengthy conversation about how strong kangaroos are in Australia.
Right.
They did mention a few of our other things that could try and kill you, spiders and snakes and whatnot, but the kangaroos and their muscle really got them going, apparently, so much so that it's made it into her book.
Right.
Like, it must have been a very lengthy conversation.
Donald, have you ever seen a kangaroo's muscles? They're cute.
Well, it's just the, I suppose, just the sheer idea that they're having that sort of conversation at, like, these world leaders.
Yes.
Like, this is fly on the wall stuff, because you wouldn't expect that, is it? They're all sitting around the table, but I suppose when we, or just anybody in general, is sort of sitting around the table, you just start talking about things, don't you?
Got to break the ice.
It's whatever comes up, I guess. And they're not wrong. I mean, strong, like, kangaroos are next level strong.
When I got into drama school and I had to catch the coach from, or the bus from Perth to Sydney, and we, of course, went across the Nullarbor, and at night you'd see the roos, and unfortunately sometimes the bus would take them out, but you'd see them, and the big males, the boomers, their chests...
Oh.
They look like the dudes you see at the gym bench pressing 300 kilograms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember
they are huge.
Photo that came out like a year or two ago with that one that they found in the creek, and he came out and he was like just enormous.
Yeah. He was
like,
jacked.
Yeah. I was on a school camp once years ago and I forgot my cardigan and I went to go back to the dorm to get it. And out the front of the dorm were two boxing kangaroos on their back tail, like on their tails, smashing each other. And I just remember being so surprised how huge they were. And I was like, I don't think I need a cardigan. I think I'm good.
When Facebook first came out and you could start connecting quite easily with people over in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So I never knew that the whole, like, you know, whether you're in Europe or America or whatever, like, they'd hear about kangaroos and they're these mythical beasts that we all have in our backyard.
They're riding them to school.
So we would tell them. We'd say to them, yeah, man, I just got home, just rode my kangaroo back from school. And they get sucked right in.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Oh, it's good stuff. And also, too, I mean, you'd be pleased to know that Boris and Trump also really covered some important stuff because they veered into a conversation about gallbladders.
Did they? Yeah, but global warming just didn't make the agenda.
No.
Ah, great.
No time
great.
For that. Pete, Matt and Kimber.
If you have time, check out another Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast on the Listener app. And if you have an existing claim for a road or work accident, contact Maurice Blackburn, Australia's number one plaintiff law firm. Mix 94.